This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Previously.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On the complete guide to everything.
So last week I went to Key West.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
Sure.
Is that all you got?
No, I have more to say.
Oh.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom,
I know how you were doing last week. Let's hear how you're doing this week.
What does that mean?
Well, I asked you last. I guess I ask you every week how you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, this week's no different, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm feeling very brave.
Why is that?
Because I went to the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what?
During a pandemic.
Well, yeah. I mean, that wasn't brave. My doctor is a new doctor I have.
He's a new doctor. He just changed careers. Last week, he was a lawyer.
No, last week he was like a professional naysayer, it seems like. Pandemic, he did not want to hear it.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, I guess the science is out.
Yeah, I choose to believe him.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the easiest thing to believe, everything's fine.
When's the last time you had a tetanus shot?
I don't know, but I think somewhat...
Tetanus vaccine, right?
Yeah. I think somewhat recently, because I remember being asked that during the last few years and being like, tell me how long they last and I will tell you if I need another one or not. And how long does it last?
10 years? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't think so. Is it bad if you give me another one?
That's what I asked. And they were like, no, but when was it? I was like... I don't know. It was at least 7 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we'll be fine. So they gave me another
one.
Did
you tell them how many rusty fences you climbed, though?
That was disclosed earlier in
why you were there. Multiple injuries from climbing rusty fences.
Yeah, it was part of that. It was like 5% of guess what? Every 10 years. So now they're just like, now you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy. 2020, 2030.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That'll be the last time. Hell,
yeah. There's not going to be anything after that. Even 2030 is being a little optimistic.
But I got blood drawn, and I never used to be a guy that was like skittish
that
about
gave
it.
Blood. I never used to be a guy that let somebody take his blood.
No, I used to give blood all the time. And then,
even to people that didn't want it.
Yeah. I'm a generous man, Tom. Mm-hmm.
Here, take a bag of blood.
Sometimes not even in a bag. Sometimes it's in a pint glass.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You can see everything in there.
Yeah.
Easier to pour in if you need some.
And today I was just like, I'm just gonna not be skittish about this.
You've always been skittish.
No, I used to not be.
Okay.
And then I feel like once I hit, I think my late 20s, I realized that I wasn't immortal, later than most people do.
You thought, so one day somebody's going to take enough blood that I die.
Exactly. And today, I just had to trust the physician's assistant and be like, look, I'm going to trust her to take only what she needs.
Right. And no more.
I'm not even going to, I asked once, you're only going to take as much as you need, right?
Oh, okay. So you did say it to her.
I just asked once and I didn't follow up.
Okay. Did you ask while she was taking the blood?
No.
Oh, well, she reminded her.
No, I was paralyzed with fear while she was taking the blood. I was afraid that my arm would move slightly and the needle would break off into my vein, which I was realizing today, they put that thing in 2 millimeters. It's not going to do anything.
One time I was giving blood and I don't know, they didn't tape it on right or something, and it kept falling and twisting the needle in my arm.
Ugh.
And this was a blood donation, not drawing blood. So those are the big needles.
Yeah.
That hurt a lot when a needle gets turned inside your vein.
Yeah. Yeah, I was giving blood one time, and the person administering it was telling somebody else about her divorce proceedings that were happening, and she put the needle in me wrong. And I was just like, excuse me. And she's like, it's going to hurt a little bit. It's a needle. And she took it out. And for the
it's all bone marrow.
No, for a week, my arm was all black and blue, like all the way up and down.
Yeah, that's what happened with this, too. Like, you get black and blue real easy if
needles are in your veins wrong.
I guess it makes sense. Yeah. I was hearing recently about they got something where they can put a needle in your muscle and make it better. I don't know what that is. Shock it, maybe give it a little shock.
What
like if you got like sore muscles?
Oh yeah, I don't know.
We're gonna have to ask at the hospital I work at, see if they can tell me more about it.
Very brave at the doctor. They do this thing now. Well, they've always done this, but they're like, we're gonna need your urine, sir. And I was like, I beg
they do
your
this
pardon
thing now.
But they're like, you need to fill up this test tube and this test tube. Maybe they're not called test tubes.
Yeah, geez, that's...
No, but there were two like...
Oh, just little tubes?
They gave you a cup and a large eyedropper thing.
Oh, I don't like that.
So I was in the bathroom stall and it was like...
Looking like a mad scientist.
Yeah, and it was a public restroom.
To turn your urine into gold.
I had to leave the doctor's office.
Uh-huh.
Go into the bathroom in a hallway,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It was just like some building in Soho. Yeah, it was a like doctor's office, but there were other offices.
Right, like an office park type thing.
Yeah, and I...
An office building, I think they're called.
We'll check on that. Went into a stall. There was one stall in here. It was a stall in a urinal. And had to like... There was no like table or anything, so I had to like pee into this cup.
Uh-huh.
And then like... get out the tubes and get out the eyedropper. And, you know, it took a few moves, right?
Right.
It wasn't just like, suck it up and put it in there.
Right.
Like,
yeah, that wasn't enough. You had to do it multiple times.
Yeah, and I had to do it for two of them. It was a whole big mess. I was thinking,
you made a whole big mess.
A little bit. You know, hopefully they're wiping things down more frequently.
Sure. Because you didn't, it sounds like.
How are you this week?
I'm good. The last time I had to urinate in a cup...
parole officer was there.
No. I did have to do that when I tried to get a job at Coca-Cola.
That's why...
Where the lady was like, I'm supposed to watch you urinate. You know, and make sure you don't like switch it out or
something.
The boss
is a real perv. He wants me to watch you urinate.
No, it was at like an independent. This wasn't a Coca-Cola employee watching me pee. It was at like a.
God forbid you besmirch the reputation of the Coca-Cola. Yeah,
they're a great company. Yeah. I like their drinks.
I like their union policies.
Well, I've talked a long time ago, I think, about how dangerous this place was. Where literally I was waiting in the office for the interview and they had a sign up that said, you know, this many days without accidents. And it said zero, which meant, you know, there hadn't been a day without an accident. Yeah. And literally as I'm looking at that sign, a guy rushes down the hallway. There's like one of those
on fire.
No, it's one of those offices where like they have windows looking into the hallway. Like George Costanza's in when he worked for the Yankees.
Okay, yeah.
So I see three people rushing down the hallway. It's two people helping another person who just has blood gushing out of their mouth, nose, something, like a lot of blood, though.
What happened to him?
I don't know, but like literally...
Did the person interviewing you just close the blinds without saying anything?
No, literally right after that, the guy interviewing me walks by and walks in and he's like, hello, I'm John. Nice to meet you. He has an eye patch, like a permanent eye patch. Like he had lost his eye somehow.
I mean, that could have been.
It could have been anywhere, but presumably it was at this very dangerous Coca-Cola plant. That it seemed like accidents happen at constantly. And then they sent me down the road to pee in a cup and the lady was like, I'm supposed to watch you pee. I don't want to do that. Do you want me to do that? I was like, no, I'd prefer not. And she's like, all right, don't be a jerk. Don't just swap out the urine and They like turn off the sink from the outside. I completely understand why that is. I was like, do some people just fill up the urine cup with water? And they're like, here it is.
Oh, this is the cleanest urine I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but I was going to say.
A lot of fluoride in it.
Oh, don't get me started on the fluoride in the water.
I know. That's why I never got a job. That's why I was rejected from a job at Blockbuster Video.
Because of the fluoride in the water?
No, I was...
You tested positive for fluoride?
They had a kiosk where you could... A touch screen where you could apply for a job.
Right. Most like, high-level jobs. That's either hiring the kiosk.
Yeah, you didn't need to. And they were like, would you submit to a drug test? I was like, well, Tommy Reynolds had to watch some lady watch... make some lady watch him pee. No drug test for me. And they were like, thank you. You're not hired. And I was like, ah, shit.
So
I was like,
that's what a drug guy would say, wouldn't he?
Yeah. So I was onto it, and so I was like, oh, I'll go to the Blockbuster in West Islip instead of the one.
See if they have a different policy.
And I went, and they were like, will you take a drug test? I was like, yes. And then they were like, oh, you're already in our system. You're not hired.
That stinks.
Yeah.
You could have saved that company, maybe.
Look, I feel people. Okay, I have a lot. It's probably just nostalgia,
mm-hmm.
but I really enjoyed walking around Blockbuster, being like, "What movie to watch?"
No,
tonight?
I watched a YouTube video where these guys went to like the last Blockbuster. It's not in Alaska. A lot of people think that, but it's not.
Yeah, idiots.
I think
get
it's
it
in
right.
Washington State or Oregon, something like that. But they went to the last one, and they had like all new movies and everything, and they were talking about how. They miss that, like going to Blockbuster and being like, all right, we can rent one, maybe two movies.
Yeah.
Let's take everything into account. And yeah, now we're on the opposite end with the Netflix and the Hulu and all that.
But that's like you scroll endlessly and then you put something on and within 3 minutes you're like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
You're not going to give anything a shot. Same with the streaming music.
Yeah. Well,
listen to a new record and you're like, this isn't immediately amazing.
Right.
Me.
And that's why people are making music to that. You have to hook the people within like the first 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Or else they're going to go away.
Like 1998, I was like, I paid $19 for this. Like, right. I'm going to listen to this album at least 100 times, right. Even if it sucks.
Yeah. And eventually I will like it because I've just heard it enough. But I was going to say the last time I had to do a urine test at a doctor, I always pee before I get to the doctor's office. And
I always got a little in the tank.
Well, this was the first time that I remembered, like, hey, dummy, don't pee before you get there because they're going to ask you to pee in a cup. So I didn't. And then I had too much pee. And then I was like, oh, no, I got to, like, stop. I got to stop peeing.
Were you in the bathroom at the time?
Yeah,
well, what you should probably do, continue peeing into it. I don't have another container to put this
in. I don't want to, like, switch quick enough. I didn't trust myself. I still had to stop for like a second, get the cup out of the way and do the rest in the toilet. And then like, I also didn't feel comfortable bringing a cup in that was filled to the brim of with pee. I think that probably would have, might have said something like, oh, we didn't need this much. It's like, well, that's what you're getting.
Did you go, oh, wow, like real impressed?
No, I wish she did. I had a feeling she wasn't going to be like that. All right, Tim. Last week, we talked about a little bit of my vacation. The first vacation I've had in probably a decade, at least.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Like, every other trip I've been on has either been, like, a long weekend that hasn't been very far or has had some kind of a work element to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I've traveled a lot.
I've taken a lot of days off to go to... the UK with you.
Right, which is not a vacation. It's not one for me either.
Yeah, it's nice for the first day or two.
Yeah.
But it's not a vacation.
Yeah, and like we've done shows in other cities where it's like, we get to see a little of the city. This is nice, but it's not a vacation. Yeah. It's not a, let me put on my Tommy Bahama shorts and a nice Panama Jack hat and lay back and enjoy myself. But this was one of those times. Can you tell me what I refresh my and the listeners' memories about what I went over last week?
You just did no preparation for this whatsoever.
No,
did
I
you?
Have it. I have a ton of notes, but I forget. Did I only talk about the ghost
I
tour?
I think you only talked about the ghost tour. Oh, and that you went on a glass bottom boat, because glass bottom boats make the rock and roll world go round.
Yes, and I got seasick, a little seasick on that. Did I mention that?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
And you made it seem, you had this whole explanation about how you got seasick because your brain's not supposed to look at the ocean floor or something. I don't know.
No, it was that my head was down, so I wasn't like looking at the horizon. Mm. So for like a long time, that's what makes you seasick, that your eyes are looking and it's like, oh, everything's fine. But your brain's like, no, man, it's not fine. We're moving around a lot. Do you know why we throw up, like when we get motion sickness or like too drunk? It's because the body thinks we've been poisoned.
Oh, really?
Because basically, like, your eyes are giving different information than your inner ear. So your eyes are saying, we're not moving. And your inner ear is like hell, we're not moving. I feel it. We're moving. And it goes, we've been poisoned again. Get rid of everything. And that's why we puke.
Hmm.
Yeah. I kind of miss the days when you could poison people real easy.
You can't now?
No, they always find out.
When were the days when you could...
Like medieval times. People were poisoning each other. It was like if somebody...
You missed those? You weren't around then. I thought you meant then, like, hey,
the 90s, you could poison.
Go to the Blockbuster and then come home and poison my enemies.
No, it's like in medieval times, people would just, you know, you'd look at somebody funny and be like, I'm going to poison that guy. The perfect crime. Because no, it was the perfect crime. Nobody could, you know, they didn't know about science or anything. They'd open up somebody and be like, well, yeah, they got all the guts.
What poison would you use?
I don't know. Some
hemlock?
Yeah. You only know that because, who is it? Socrates? Plato killed himself with it?
Maybe. Turns out I don't know that.
Tim, let me continue on my star-studded vacation. Right. It wasn't star-studded.
So what stars were there?
Well, I did go to Judy Blume's bookstore that she owns with her husband.
Is she with us?
Yeah. She works at the bookstore 4 days a week.
Really?
Yeah.
And you went one of the days that she wasn't there?
She was going to be there later that night, they said. She's 80 years old, maybe even older now. She was 80, I think, a few years ago.
Did you go in there and say, are you here, Judy Blume? It's me, Tom.
It's me, God. No, and actually, a friend of the show, Andrew Gregory, told me that when he and his wife went there, she was there, and like multiple people were like, "Judy, you have to take a break. Like, you've been working all day." But that's like a nice thing, right? To retire and be like, "I'm going to open up a bookstore."
Yeah.
And it seemed like everybody at work.
Do you think she's ruthless? Do you think she like drove all the other bookstores out of business?
No, because I went in another bookstore right before then. Mm. No, it was like a little bit of a weird bookstore. Not weird. It only had like pretty new books. Like it had no used books. Okay. But then even like everything, it didn't have a huge selection. And everything
curated by Judy Blume. That's what you want.
Yeah, it was all basically new releases for the most part. But yeah, she wasn't there. The store seemed mostly staffed by like retired women,
mm-hmm.
which again is like, oh, that's nice. Like, yeah. Come.
Like Mary Higgins Clark there.
As far as I know, it wasn't other.
Sue Grafton.
It wasn't other authors. No, but I was, I heard a guy at the register. He's like, I came, he's like, my wife told me to pick up this book and she's like, oh, okay. And she's ringing him up. And somebody else asked if Judy was there that day. And she's like, no, she'll be in later tonight, though. And the guy's like, who's that? And this guy was like a local, like the woman knew him. And he's like, oh, she's an author. And she started this bookstore. She wrote a book called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. That was all about.
You said her name was Judy.
That was about a 12-year-old girl where everybody else is having their period and she's not having her period and she, is upset about it and doesn't understand. And this guy is just like, huh? And I'm like, how have you not heard of Judy Blume and this book? But the guy hadn't. And he just like sat there silently as the woman explained the plot of the book and who Judy Blume is to him. And then he was like, all right, how much do I owe you? And that was my experience.
Why would he ask if he was just going to poo-poo it?
Because maybe he thought that she wrote, you know, books about motorcycles or something, and he'd be like, oh, cool. Everybody down there,
a motorcycle book lady.
They don't have helmet laws down there, so nobody wears a helmet riding a motorcycle.
That's...
Right? That's silly.
It's dangerous.
You're going to fall off that motorcycle, and your head's going to pop like a grape.
Is it called Books and Books?
Yeah.
Key West?
That's the name of it, Books and Books.
Look, I want this to be a travel guide for, for Key West. When you're in Key West...
Well, I have a bunch of ghost books at the end I'll be recommending.
Oh, it looks like there's a pretty good selection.
I mean, it wasn't. It was a pretty big store.
Booksandbookskw.com.
Okay. Buy your books there.
Or don't.
Or don't.
Judy Blume's rich enough.
This is now an anti-Judy Blume podcast. You know what? It's time Judy Blume got a taste of her own medicine.
Now that I just learned that she's still alive, I got a lot of things to say about her.
So that was arguably one run-in with a celebrity.
Blubber, I read that book.
That's the one that, yeah.
Super Fudge, I read that book.
I read that one too. I didn't like the Fudge books. I thought it would...
Fudgemania?
Yeah, I was like, nah, I don't like this side character. That much. A little too much. Good as a side character, not good as a main character.
Tales of a Fourth Grade Nun. She rules.
Yeah.
Freckle juice.
Oh, that's what brought it up. The guy was like, I misspoke. The guy, like by the counter, there was a section that was all banned books. And he's like, why do you have banned books? And she explained, oh, the owner of the place, she wrote this book. It was banned, and explained why it was banned. And, you know, that she's against banning books. And the guy was just like,
my wife told me to buy this book. I don't care for books.
That's not what he said, but that was his attitude.
Yeah.
The second run-in I had with a celebrity.
Okay.
Was going to the house that Ernest Hemingway used to live in.
Who's that?
Tim, he wrote a bunch of books, a bunch of stories.
Super Fudge.
he wrote an unauthorized sequel to Super Fudge.
Super Fudge fan fiction.
Yeah, that's mostly what he was known for. No, he has, he's no longer with us. He shot himself in the head, if you must know.
Yeah, I must.
He has still the biggest private house in Key West, Florida. It's that big. Almost an acre.
I don't know. I'll never know how big an acre is.
I kind of have an idea now because I saw it.
Right.
I would say, like, from where we grew up, an acre would probably be like half a block, maybe quarter of a block.
Block on my side of town or your side of town?
Yeah, it's tough to say. Yeah, you had some pretty long blocks. Definitely not a quarter of your blocks.
16 tennis courts in a 4x4 formation.
That's what I was going to say.
75% of an American football field.
Okay. Yeah, that checks out now that I'm picturing it in my mind's eye.
That comes from thecalculatorsite.com.
I love that you're crediting all the sources this
week. Yeah.
It's
becoming a big deal. People are getting... Shows are getting sued for hundreds of thousands of dollars, Tom.
It was cool. Like, it was weird to be in a house where somebody very, very well known and like an important like American historical figure lived, because they haven't changed anything for the most part. So it's like, here's the bedroom. Yeah, that's his bed. That's his dresser. Please don't touch those things. But then the entire property is full of cats, and there are all, or not all, I guess, but a lot of them are descendants from the first cat that lived there that had six toes. So a lot of these cats have six toes, and they're just hanging around. They're just walking all over the place.
How many cats?
I think they said 16 cats currently.
Wow.
Maybe, no, 58 cats? Maybe it's 58 cats. It was a lot of cats. It was definitely more than 16. There were cats everywhere. And these cats, they didn't care about people at all. They were fine.
Hmm. So that's where he wrote Farewell to Arms.
He wrote a bunch of stuff there. And you get to go...
Super Fudge Strikes Back.
You get to go in his writing studio, too. They have it set up with, like, his typewriter. And that part, you're kind of in a cage. You kind of can't get past... You know, you can only look. You can't touch. But it's like, oh, that's his typewriter. That's where he sat and wrote. And that's the toilet he would take a dump in.
All right. You don't have to say
what?
That.
What? Well, it was neat to see, Tim. And it's like, oh, celebrities. They're just like us.
Was that part roped off, too? Were they like, yeah, he didn't flush before he...
his last turd is still in there.
Don't say that word.
And yeah, you get to hear a bunch of fun stories. He was a freaking nutcase, that guy. He had a boxing ring in his yard and would just invite people over to box him.
Yeah, he seems...
And then one time he went... he was not a very faithful man to his lovers.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he was the greatest guy.
No. A lot of the stories were about how he... there's a bar called Sloppy Joe's down there.
Did you go to Sloppy Joe's?
Yeah, yeah. And Sloppy Joe's is where he hung out all the time.
Nice.
But then I heard, oh, well, Sloppy Joe's moved locations. I'm like, oh, okay. So that, and it's like, oh, no, that was the location because, like, he was there when they moved because you might notice this unusual fountain in the yard that the cats drink out of. That's a urinal from Sloppy Joe's that apparently he went to see. He was very good friends with Joe, the owner.
And the sloppy man himself.
Yeah. And when they were moving from one place to another, you know, they were doing demolition, construction or whatever. He saw one of the old urinals and he said, I've pissed so much money down that toilet. The least you can do is give it to me. Mm. And he was like, all right, you want a toilet? Sure. I mean, aren't you very rich? Why do you want an old toilet? But he took the urinal and turned it on its side and the cats drink out of it. It's a fountain. Cool. The cats don't even know. They have no idea. So I spent half the tour just laughing at the cats. You idiots. Yeah. And that was a fun time. And the old Sloppy Joe's is still a bar. It's called Captain Tony's now.
Why wouldn't they call it Sloppy Joe's?
Because there's a new place called
old place that was.
Yeah, the old location is still a bar.
Did you go to both those bars?
I did.
Were you drunk the whole week?
No, I didn't drink. I mean, I drank every day, but not a lot. You know, because it's one of those things, one of those vacations where you're like always drinking, but not heavily drinking, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I never woke up with a hangover or anything. And nowadays, like if I have 3 beers in a short period of time, I'm going to be useless the next day.
Yeah.
So I didn't drink that much. The place Captain Tony's is one of those bars that has brassieres all over on the ceiling.
One of those places?
Yeah, you've seen them in movies, the places that have brassieres all
brassieres on the ceiling?
Brassieres hanging from the rafters. Like you wouldn't believe.
How
so
many brassieres?
Hundreds.
Hundreds of brassieres on the ceiling?
Not thousands, but definitely hundreds.
Maybe over 1,000 though.
Maybe. Maybe over 1,000.
Where do they get them?
From women, Tim. Where do you think brassieres come from?
I don't know. The wholesaler?
No. Tim, they're not from sailors. They're from women. Women can be sailors.
Yeah. Come on, Tom. It's 2020.
That's true. A lot of these bras look like they were older than this year.
So what are the circumstances?
I don't know. We were trying to figure it out. Like,
you're acting like I'm some sort of dummy for not knowing this.
I mean, I know about this type of thing at some bars. I guess it's like one time somebody's like, you know, it'd be funny if I took off my bra and stapled it to the ceiling. And then, you know, an idea takes
bras
hold.
Bras are expensive.
I know. I wouldn't do it, but I don't wear bras. But maybe if you're there and it's like, you know what, I'm wearing like a real shitty bra that I've been meaning to get rid of anyway, and it's kind of uncomfortable right now, I might as well staple it to the ceiling here. Maybe people bring extra old bras to staple the ceiling. Maybe they're not necessarily coming off that night.
Yeah.
I don't know. And there was that place had dollar bills stapled all over too, but there was another place that must have had like $10,000 worth of dollar bills stapled everywhere.
You should go down to Key West for a heist.
No, it said that they've got cameras that they're watching, so don't take them dollar bills.
They had cameras in the freaking Riviera Casino, but that's true. Ocean and his 11 men made quick work of it.
I think, was he one of the 11 men? Was it Ocean and his 11?
No. Or the 11, it was possessive. It was his 11.
Ocean's 11, including himself, which of course includes Ocean.
Ocean's 11, inclusive of Ocean? Billy Ocean?
Danny Ocean.
That's disappointing.
If you're looking to change your diet, instead of restricting what you eat, what if you nourish your body with the healthiest and most nutritious food? With Sakara, you're putting the best in your body so you can feel your best. The menu is creative, chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners that change weekly so you'll never get bored, and it's delivered fresh anywhere in the U.S. Along with delicious meals, Sakara also has daily wellness essentials like supplements and herbal teas to support your nutrition. To boost results, try the best-selling Metabolism Super Powder, an all-natural remedy for bloating, weight gain, and fatigue. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/guide and enter code guide at checkout. That's Sakara, SAKARA.com/guide to get 20% off your first order. Sakara.com/guide.
I also like it.
One bit of disappointment that came from Key West, Tim. I did not have a chance to go paragliding. The day we were going to go paragliding,
I think we talked about this.
It was too windy.
Yeah.
But I did go.
Oh, you were going to go paragliding?
Yeah.
Not parasailing?
No. Parasailing? Maybe that's what I was going to do. Parasailing. Yeah, that sounds more. I don't know what the difference is, but yeah. I think it's parasailing. Yeah, paragliding's like when you've got the triangle shape thing and you run off a cliff, right?
That's hang gliding, right?
Yeah, you're right.
What's paragliding then?
I don't know. Paragliding might be when you've got the motor strapped to your back and you're on a parachute. You've got like an engine, not just a motor, a fan, a big fan with an engine.
Yeah, okay. Paragliding.
Uh-huh.
Wikipedia, first thing it says in like official italic font before it goes into anything. Not to be confused with parasailing or hang gliding.
All right. Well, we came to the right place because we are confused.
Paragliding is the recreational and competitive adventure sport of flying paragliders, lightweight, free-flying, foot-launched glider aircraft with no rigid primary structure.
Okay.
It's like a parachute.
And you just jump off. So it's like hang gliding with a parachute.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But you were going parasailing.
Parasailing, which is a boat pulling you while you're hanging from.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it because I wasn't allowed to do it when I went to Bermuda. My parents said, we might have not even talked about it last week, but a different week. But my parents said it was too windy. But it wasn't too windy.
I mean, if they were still open, because it didn't seem that windy this day and they closed it down.
Mm.
So if they were still open when you went there, then it wasn't too windy. And your parents are cowards.
No, I think they just, I was like eight and they just didn't want me going.
Slip out of that.
Yeah.
You would have landed in the ocean, which is fine.
Like if you died parasailing, Tom, you would have been like, well, you know.
He did it to himself. Yeah, he deserved it.
He took a risk. It was a minuscule risk, buddy. Mm-hmm.
But a risk all the same.
My parents were like, "We'll put an 8-year-old on this thing."
Then
and
they
happened.
Have to move.
Yeah, exactly.
Afterwards. So I didn't get to do that. I did post on Instagram. I got to repost it for anybody that missed it. This guy that was on a jetpack with a dog on his back.
Yeah, a
jetpack. We talked about that, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Tom, I thought you were going to make notes.
I thought you were taking notes of what we talked about last time. I also went on went in a lighthouse. What? That was fun.
Have you run out of interesting things to say about your trip?
No, I've got some more interesting things, but I want to talk about the lighthouse for a minute because it was 88 stairs and it was very scary going up it.
88 stairs, that's not a lot.
It is when they're going straight up. And then when you go out, it's like, oh, there's just a little railing. This wasn't really meant for tourists. This was meant for a lighthouse keeper that's not going to do anything stupid up here. Because he's probably going to die doing this job via an accident anyway. One of the guys, when I went to the museum, he died because he fell off a ladder. And then he slowly got better. And then he fell off a ladder again and died. Jeez. Sounded horrible. Life back then, they were like, in the late 1800s, being a lighthouse keeper is one of the hardest jobs there was. I was like, really? And everything sucked in the late 1800s. Being like an oil tycoon was hard. I can't imagine how tough this was. And it was basically that there were two families that lived in this house, which sounds like a nightmare to begin with. And between the two of them, it's like that light's got to be on every night, no matter what. And they said the first night, the first year that they had this lighthouse, even though it was manned 24 hours a day and the light was always on, in the first year they had 500 shipwrecks.
Wait, why? Was
it just? I guess it wasn't bright enough.
Was there something in the way, like blocking the lighthouse? They built it behind a skyscraper?
It was facing the wrong way, they realized. No, I don't know. I guess. Well, they also had like kind of the history of like the upgrades. And I think basically like the first lighthouse, it was like, yeah, we were burning whale oil. It just wasn't really that bright. You know, if there was any kind of a fog or anything, you just couldn't see it.
Then why have the lighthouse?
Because I think without it, they would have had like 2,000 shipwrecks. It did help. And they slowly upgraded over the years until got to the point where they didn't need lighthouse keepers anymore. Electricity took over.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of the movie The Lighthouse, which I liked very much.
What was that movie?
It was about the lighthouse. Yeah. It's about a lighthouse that two crazy guys worked at.
Yeah. I'll watch that.
You haven't seen that?
No.
You would like it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Just because it's weird.
It's so weird. I really liked it. I loved how weird it was. Yeah. And then I went to a beach that was next to a military base.
Okay.
I brought my drone, but I couldn't fly the drone because it was next to a military base. And I was a little upset about that.
You packed a drone.
Yeah. I pack my drone pretty much everywhere I go.
Brought it on an airplane.
Uh-huh.
You should have just put it outside of the airplane and flew it next to the airplane the whole time.
Yeah, I could have saved on that.
That would have been cute.
Could have packed an extra pair of underwear.
Yeah.
No, freaking
hell. You could have put your bag on top of the drone.
It's not that strong. I don't know. I haven't tested it.
Yeah.
I could have brought two. Then they probably could have done
Maybe not on top, but tie it.
Tie it, have it hanging
bottom.
Down.
Yeah, exactly. We've both seen Mission Impossible.
They have drones in there?
No, they tie the things to the helicopters at the end during the helicopter shoot.
Which really, what is a helicopter if not a big drone?
Yeah.
I got to stop bringing shit. I'm pretty good at packing light, but I've brought my drone and my Nintendo Switch on like every trip I've taken recently, and I've never used either of them. It's fine. I've never been somewhere where I'm like, I really wish I had my Nintendo Switch. I mean, on every plane ride, I make sure I have like 40 hours of entertainment.
Me too. And then I watch some episode from season one of Friends on the seat back. The entertainment system.
I fall asleep. I downloaded gigabytes and gigabytes of stuff from Netflix, Hulu. I had like 20 different books that I was going to start, comics on my iPad, a ton of podcasts on my phone. And then I fall asleep 10 minutes into every flight, no matter what.
Yeah. When I was flying out to Arizona, and it was the weekend of the Oscars, and I had seen pretty much all the Oscar nominated films except for 1917, and I was like, well, this one's gonna win, so I gotta watch this. So I had you illegally download it.
I don't recall.
gave it to me. I never watched it. I just deleted it. I fell asleep on the plane and didn't watch it. And then it didn't win any awards.
Yeah,
so I was happy.
I don't need to see it anyway.
I don't need to see it. I only watch award winners.
Well, you're a man of exquisite taste.
Everybody says so.
By far, the thing that was the most... Oh, so also when I went to the... it was one of the things I really liked about this place, like when I went to that military base beach, you can rent bicycles and just bike everywhere.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Did you rent a bicycle built for two?
No, I kept threatening to, but then I couldn't find the place that had them.
Yeah.
Although all the bikes down there that you rent, they're all the the brakes where you just pedal backwards and it breaks.
Uh-huh.
And that was hard to get used to after not having one of those since I was like 10 years old or
whatever. You didn't get used to that.
I got used to it quick enough. And they don't give you helmets because nobody wears helmets down there.
Yeah, that's...
It was like fine. Like I was a little nervous on a bike. Like when I bike in the city, I wear a helmet. So down there, it was like, there's a lot more people biking. I feel a little bit safer that people are looking out and like not as much traffic, not as many people ride, you know, driving anywhere fast. But these people riding their hogs, Tim, with no helmets. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
It doesn't matter how tough you are. You fall off a motorcycle not wearing a helmet, it's just going to kill you.
I saw a guy riding a motorcycle. He had a helmet on. But he did that thing that that I used to do before I learned how to ride a bike with no hands,
mm-hmm.
where you take your hands off for a minute, for like a second,
yeah.
and just like put them up in the air and then back down. But I saw a guy on the BQE weaving in and out of traffic,
uh-huh.
and then got into the middle lane and just did that like a few times.
For the listener, Tim's holding his hands up and now he appears to have hurt his shoulder.
No, I got that that shot, that vaccine today.
Yeah.
I'll show you the Band-Aid when it's all over, Tom.
I believe you.
It hurts my arm.
I had to put a Band-Aid on my foot because of these flip-flops I bought down there.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have a tan line on my foot in the shape of a Band-Aid. Yeah, and that's why I'm wearing socks right now.
Are you usually barefoot when we're doing this?
Come on. Okay. I'm not a sicko. The town down there is really weird. We kept going to this one CVS where they had this one nice, older gentleman working there. What?
You just went to the CVS numerous times?
Well,
there's an old man there.
Not because he was there. He just happened to always be there. And he always had comments about everything I was buying. Like, the first time I went there, I needed flip flops because the flip flops I bought, I don't know what happened to them that I brought. I've had them for years. I've immediately slipped down the stairs wearing them.
You fall down the stairs so much more than anybody else I know.
And I don't like it. It's not a part that I'm proud of. Luckily, I like caught myself.
Oh, you don't like falling down the stairs?
No. But I slipped and like managed to catch myself with my hands, like by like grabbing the railings on either side. That's the only thing that stopped me. And I've done that before and like really hurt my arms and shoulders because to like do that suddenly sometimes it's like, oh, that was the wrong way to catch myself and I put all my weight on a weird muscle that never gets used. So I needed to get new flip-flops. I don't know what the hell happened to these flip-flops that the bottom became slippery. They like turned into plastic. Flip-flops and a hat. Flip-flops were $9. The hat was $6. I was very happy with my purchases. And the guy is telling me, he's like, this is a great hat. It's like, oh, really? It's literally the cheapest hat you guys have here. And he's like, I put one of these hats in the washing machine, though it turned into straw. And I was like, well, why'd you put it in the wash? Why are you washing a $6 hat? What'd you think was going to happen? You put it in the washing machine. It's going to destroy it.
Most things shouldn't go in the washing machine.
Yeah. Hand wash them, man.
Yeah.
But this guy was nice. He was there all the time. And by the fourth time I visited, he convinced me to go digital with my receipts at CVS. And every time he would scan my card on my phone and then ask me after that if I had the CVS app. And I was like, right, yeah, you scanned it. He's like, oh, you want to go digital with your receipts? And I didn't understand. I'm like, I am digital. I showed you the app.
Digital, you old idiot.
Yeah. There were weird street performers. There was one guy you would have liked. He was doing a lot of stunts.
Like what kind of stunts?
Like juggling, and then he climbed a big ladder.
Was it up against anything?
No, he just had four men holding ropes attached to it.
Wow.
There was one street performer that I didn't understand. His bit was just hiding behind some, like sitting on a bucket, hiding behind palm leaves. And then when people walk by, going boo and scaring them.
It worked,
but then he would ask them for a tip. And I didn't see anyone ever. Why am I going to tip somebody who scared me?
Yeah, I don't like being scared. And not even in a, like, oh, I don't like that. But if you startle me.
Yeah.
I'm angry at you.
Well, that's what it is. It's like you didn't scare them. You startled them.
Yeah.
The person was not expecting somebody to jump out at them.
Yeah.
And they're in a different city. And most times, like if somebody jumps out of nowhere, people are on vacation assume they're being robbed.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't mind getting punked one day.
Well, you're going to eat those words one day, Tim. When Ashton comes out. And,
no, who's the new host of Punked on Quibi?
Oh, I forget. Yeah, it's some new star.
Yeah. Well, I'll get back to you.
There was also a Spider-Man playing a sitar. He didn't seem to be doing that well.
Oh, Chance the Rapper. Actually, I will watch
that. Oh, it's Chance?
You know what?
I thought it was like one of the boys from that group. What's the big group?
One Direction?
Yeah, that was one of them.
No, it was Chance the Rapper. Okay. He wasn't in One Direction at all.
I could see Chance the Rapper's pranks being a little more wholesome, a little more in good fun.
Yeah.
Than Ashton.
Punked wasn't mean-spirited.
Sometimes it was.
Yeah. My dirty little secret, Tom. I'm a little excited about some of these Quibi programs.
Tim, are you being sponsored by Quibi and you didn't tell me about it?
I wouldn't tell you about it. It would be buzz marketing.
So there were two things on like the main drag that fascinated me. The number of CBD stores, and there were like two. It seemed like legal marijuana dispensaries that like looked really nice that nobody was in because
they don't have legalized marijuana.
They do for medical, I think. And it looked like kind of these places, very nice looking places that they opened, basically being like, well, in a few years, it's going to be legal and we're going to have this prime real estate. And for now, we can sell it to medical users. But then there were like CBD stores that some were just like very sketchy. They were all pretty sketchy. I went in one because I was curious about like what they were selling. And the guy like tried to sell me CBD stuff that was like insanely overpriced. So I walked out. But then there was one place. It was like a little hut. And it had a bunch of like weird CBD stuff and Kratom and Kava. You know about these?
No, what is this?
They're like legal, but they're also drugs.
Kratom?
Yeah. You can like put it in, you can like make a tea out of it and drink it. And it'll make you, I don't know.
Well, I think it'll relax you, or is it psychedelic?
I think if you take a little, it relaxes you. But if you take a lot, it's psychedelic.
Nice.
Maybe. Don't quote me on that. Well, these are legal drugs. You can do these and Uncle Sam will have no problem with it.
Yeah, no, those drugs that like the government hasn't caught up to yet, those make me more nervous than, you know, like trying cocaine.
But they had like one of those, you ever see these machines where it fills a giant balloon full of vapor and then you suck out that balloon?
Whippets?
No. Did I talk about this last week? Is that why you brought Whippets up?
No, but we did talk about Whippets for a long time.
But I saw that and presumably...
What is that balloon? What's in the balloon? Helium?
Vapor.
What kind of vapor?
They attach marijuana, but in this case, like hemp, like CBD marijuana. So they attach it to a thing, and basically the balloon, I guess, acts like a lung, and you know, it heats up the thing while a fan's going like brrr, and fills up the balloon. And now you've got this big balloon that it's just full of vapor. So you can just, you know, suck on that like all at once, or maybe not all at once, because it looked like it had a thing that it can close itself.
Yeah.
But I guess that was CBD. But the thing there were two things. Let me see if you can figure out what this means.
Is this going to be another drugs machine?
No, it said that it was a sign that said that the place was open every day except for the days when Disney and Princess Cruises were in dock. Like a lot of cruises dock there.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Do you think the all powerful Disney Corporation is like, we don't want these drugs places open, and they were able to like cut a deal with the city council to be like, yo, we'll dock somewhere else? Or like,
yeah, maybe.
Like, no, you had to close the unseemly businesses when our tourists are there. These are family cruises.
But the CBD stores did not seem to have any.
What was the place that was closed?
It was a CBD like hut outside of a bar. Like, it looked like it was about the size, and it might have been the same type of thing as like a falafel cart in the city, like a shawarma, just like a little thing that a car can carry behind it, big enough for one person to be in there.
Maybe that's when Mickey's CBD hut opens up.
The only other thing I could think of was, if when those cruises come in, they move to be closer to them. Because it seemed like it was a one-man operation.
Right.
It's like, oh, when those crews are in, that's a ton of people, and they like this stuff. So I go and just, you know, sell it right at the port.
Yeah.
The other thing I couldn't figure out, well, maybe I could figure out, was that it said there was another sign that was like, if we're closed, we also do home delivery. Call this number and ask for Dragon.
Dragon.
Yeah, like a name.
That's cool.
But here's what I think. Is that just a regular weed service? And was this whole thing just basically like an advertisement for like, hey, call this number and you can buy real weed from a guy?
Why? I mean, yeah.
It seemed like a pretty good business. A, dealing drugs is usually a good business. You usually make a lot of money dealing drugs, and it's safe. But then also, it seemed like they had all their bases covered of like, hey, you want to buy real weed? Yeah, we'll come and sell it to you. But also, we're selling like insanely overpriced CBD outside of a bar, and a bunch of yokels think, oh, I guess it's legal in Florida, and they're buying it and, you know, thinking it's going to get them high.
Yeah. I don't know why you'd put Dragon if you were trying to fly under the radar with
that's,
a drug.
Yeah, that's why, right? I couldn't figure out either.
Like, make it do after-hours delivery. It's all Scott. But not Scott, a less scummy name than Scott.
It might have been Pete. It might not have been Dragon. I can remember now. I think it was something like Dragon, though. It was like a weird name.
It was either Dragon or Pete?
Yeah. Peach Dragon. Yeah. That might be why I'm confusing. But also, I'm like, where am I calling? Am I calling somebody's house? Why don't you put a cell phone number on there?
Beeper.
I call Pete, and this is his number.
Wait, what was it? What was the number?
I don't know the actual number.
How do you know it wasn't a cell phone number?
I assume it was, but if it was, you don't have to ask for anyone, because that cell phone belongs to the person you want to talk to.
Yeah, but that way you know you have the right number. Hi, is this Pete? And that way he knows, because Pete's not that guy's name.
Yeah, but what if when he answers the phone, he goes, Pete here?
Well, then, oh, good, I got the right guy.
Okay.
That's what you're thinking.
Maybe. I should have called the number and seen what, I think I might have taken a picture of it.
You
maybe
call
I'll call
right
the number.
Now?
No, because I don't think I do have a picture of it. I'll take a look.
Your stories change on a dime.
So by far the most interesting thing I encountered down there was a store called Oro Gold.
Gold.
That was like some kind of a cosmetics store. And there were two people like outside the store, you know, handing out flyers to people. to get them in the store. But then on the other side of the sidewalk, maybe, yeah, how wide is a sidewalk? 3 feet?
About an acre.
It's not an acre. An acre is area, too. It's not
three width. Feet wide, I'd say.
Yeah. So about 3 feet away, there are two older people holding up arrow signs that just say ripoff, pointing at this store.
What store was it?
Oro Gold.
Okay.
And I was fascinated by this because
did
I'm
you
like,
engage them?
No, because you don't want to engage people.
Why not?
My biggest problem in
old people causing a scene, you can walk away from at any time without feeling bad, and you could walk fairly quickly and they won't catch up to you.
My biggest problem in Key West, Florida was, and this is probably my problem in most places that aren't New York, is people don't mind their own fucking business about anything. Like, I can't tell you how many times I almost said, why don't you mind your own fucking business to somebody?
What?
Because
what are you doing down there that people are asking?
That's the thing. I'm minding my own business. And then people always have things to say.
Like what?
I can't remember now because I was like so just red with anger.
What kind of people are these?
You know, like middle
busybodies.
Yeah, busybodies, older busybodies.
Just give me one example when you told someone. So why don't you mind
this? Wasn't mine, but my niece, her feet were a little sunburned, and this woman came up to my sister-in-law on the sidewalk and was like, "Ooh, her feet are really sunburned," and she's like, "Okay, yeah, I know. Like, you mind your own business." I can't remember.
Tom, get over here. Give this lady the what for.
I would have, because by that point, I'd had so many people button their nose into my business and telling me what they think. So I didn't want to engage anyone.
For a guy that talks an hour a week, puts it on the internet about nothing in particular, mostly about just like random details from your life.
Yeah.
You really have a problem with
because I know how to
wanting
talk to you. I don't know how to talk to, you know, some old guy.
Yeah.
We went to a bar one night and there were no seats. And this guy's like, oh, we're going to be leaving in 15 minutes. You can take our seat. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. So where are you from? I'm like, oh, come on. I'm not looking for a convert. Look, if the deal is I got to talk with you to get this seat, forget it. The deal's off.
Now stand here and look at my phone until you finally leave.
You talk to my girlfriend. I'll be looking at my phone. And then we got seats on the other end of the bar, and the guy kept like looking at me and raising a glass to me. And he was there for 2 hours. He didn't leave after 15 minutes.
Yeah, but he gave you a seat. After
no.
Wait, what?
I got another seat.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, this guy wasn't leaving.
Why was he raising his glass? Yeah, people are too friendly.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, now we're buddies because we talk for 15 seconds.
When he reneged on a promise.
Right. It's like, unless you're getting up, I don't care. You're not my friend until you get up and give me something.
And then you'll be leaving, so we can't be friends then.
Right. Either. Oh, well, two ships in the night. So anyway, I was so fascinated by this Oro Gold thing that I one night bought a newspaper from a newspaper machine because that was the front page headline.
What, Oro Gold?
Yeah, about like what was going on.
What happened?
So what happened?
Do you have the newspaper?
No, I left it down. I mean, was going to pack a newspaper with me.
You leave the drone, pack the newspaper.
I was also so glad because I bought the newspaper from a newspaper machine right in front of Oro Gold. Man, it's been so long since I bought a newspaper out of a machine. That's fun.
You can take all of them, like Judge did on the Real World.
Literally, I said to my girlfriend, you dare me to take them all like Judge? And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Brayman doesn't know. On the Real World San Francisco, when Judd's comic strip was in the newspaper for the first time, he was so excited and he went to the newspaper machine, put a quarter in, opened it, and took all the newspapers out, which you're not supposed to do. It's like an honor system.
But in his defense, it was an exciting time for him.
Then he should have paid for those papers like an honest man.
Yeah.
Look, well, I'm supposed to side with him against Puck when he has his own faults.
Well, Judd never licked his finger and then stuck it in the peanut butter.
God, yeah, that is unforgivable. Yeah. So I got to buy it out of the machine.
Wait, your girlfriend has not seen the real world San Francisco?
At least not well enough that she knew when I said, you dare me to take them all like Judd, what that meant.
All right.
Which I think only you would know that.
Yes. I don't think
no, Judd himself wouldn't know.
Judd himself would have no idea what we're talking about.
So I like took it out of the machine and did the whole like flourish with it. Like, well, let's see what's on the front page here. Wow, look at this. Breaking news. So the problem was this store just sounded like a real scummy place. It looked nice, but they also had like a big sign on the store that said they were like, were not a licensed cosmetologist or like, it seemed like, oh, there's a law why you had to put that up.
Yeah.
That apparently this place was just scamming old people. They sold a bunch of like bullshit things like face creams and stuff that was like, it has gold in it. So that's why it's so good. And apparently, you know, they would get a live one, bring them in. Somebody would be like, oh, you know what? I'll take a jar of that that gold cream for $100 or whatever. And they'd be like, great. We'll box and bag all that stuff up for you. You're going to pay by credit card? Great. Okay, have a good day. Bye-bye. And these people would get home and realize that they had sold them like $3,000 worth of stuff. And that they had a no return policy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's why these old people were like devoting their retirement to just standing outside with signs that said rip off.
It seems like it was a bad move that newspaper box machine was right outside Oro Gold. Mm-hmm. Seems like the proprietor should have pulled a Judd and gone out there.
Get rid of the bad press.
Yeah, the one right in front of their dang building, at least. Yeah,
and it seemed like, I mean, I don't know how well they stock these things, but there were only a few copies in there. I think it was a hot seller. 75 cents it costs to buy this newspaper.
Right, well, we're going to get sued by Oro Gold.
We might. Don't go there. They're a ripoff, according to a bunch of retirees.
If you like the show. Is that all you had on?
You can also drink anywhere you want, and I went in a Circle K.
Oh, strange things are afoot.
That was another reference that.
Yeah, I mean,
Tim, I should have just taken you with me.
Thank you. It's what we've been building to.
There is also a bar that I didn't go inside. That's like up on the third floor, and it's a clothing optional bar that old people go to be naked. Yeah. So I didn't want to do that. I was curious, but not curious enough.
Yeah. That fooled me so many times when I went to Robert Moses Beach. Oh, yeah,
the nude beach. It was like, all right, awesome. Well, let's see centerfolds are there tanning themselves today.
Yeah, everybody was over 80 years old.
Right, and had huge balls that hung to the sand.
All right, if you like the show, be our friend on Facebook or
Facebook.com/Complete Guide. You can follow us on Twitter @Complete Guide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
You can follow me
at your pal Tim.
Yeah, it sounded just like me.
If you want to support the show, check out our sponsors. Also check out tcgt.com/Amazon for all of your Amazon shopping and patreon.com/complete guide, right?
Yeah.
For all of your culture. You get
Books the Podcast,
our secondary podcast, full length podcast, might I add.
Yeah.
Where we're reading, I just finished Papa, The Story of Papa John's by John H. Schnatter himself.
But we also read real books too.
Right. This is a weird one off. We mostly read the classics. And you get all those back episodes too. Patreon.com/complete guide.
100 episodes or 200 episodes. How many episodes of Amazing Facts did we do?
100.
100.
Yeah.
Some other random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, while we're doing the plugs, a quick thank you to Casey at Hershey's. For people that didn't see on my Instagram, Hershey's sent us 20 pounds of Take 5 bars and Reese's.
Yeah.
Casey's a listener of the show and said it was apparent that we were true-blooded Take 5 bar fans and sent us a week's supply of Take 5 bars.
Yeah, thank you, Casey. And we are sincere in our Take 5 love.
Yeah.
Go out and find Take 5 out there.
Right. They're now called Reese's Take 5, but
If you like the show, support Take Five.
Right. Or send us candy. That's always accepted. Yeah, I think that's all the plugs. Yeah, Old Naked Bar, Bra Bar, a lot of frozen stuff. I had a lot of frozen drinks.
Yeah.
A lot of piña colotas.
That's not...
which were all pretty... I went to one bar. It's one of those bars that has like a bunch of Slurpee machines behind the bar.
Yeah.
But all those bars that have Slurpee machines, like their thing is like we have Slurpee machines, but then also everything we sell has a dangerous amount of alcohol in it.
But they're not in the Slurpee
machines. No, they're in the mix.
Oh, really?
Already.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
But then you can also at this place, and most places either offer it as an option or do it automatically. They'll give you a floater. Where they'll put some extra on the top. This place, I think it was $1.50 more. The other weird thing was being down there, like hearing like, oh, Key West is expensive. Key West is expensive. No, nothing's expensive compared to New York.
Yeah, literally anywhere you go is going to be cheaper.
I couldn't get over how like inexpensive drinks were down there. And part of it was because they have, you know, no open container laws. So it's like, oh, well, that bar is competing with the 7-Eleven next door.
Yeah.
They'll sell you a beer for $1.50. This place with the frozen pina colada that I got tasted like shit. It tasted like bad pina colada, and then it was made with 151 rum, 151 proof rum, but it wasn't like a brand I had ever heard of, so it was like
Of course not. How much did it cost? $3?
It was $7 for it, but it wasn't good. It got me very drunk, but it didn't taste good. And I was already a little drunk, and it still didn't taste good.
Well, you heard it here first. Don't drink the pina coladas in Key West.
No, some of them were good. Just don't go to a place called Fat Tuesdays.
Come on, man.
What?
All you're doing is taking down businesses.
No,
there.
I'm supporting
Fat
businesses.
Fat Tuesdays, Oro Gold, Books and Books by Judy Blume.
No,
oh,
Books
Judy
and Books
Blume
is good.
Isn't even there. Oh, I didn't even really like the Super Fudge books. They're good books.
I supported Hershey's. Isn't that enough?
It's more than enough.
We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.